Okay. So I'm filling in for Louise tonight. So I'm not going to be doing all the talking. I'm actually going to get a lot of the congregation to be involved, and they will join in a bit later. But if you've missed any of the Sunday evenings, we've been talking about Joseph. I'll put my little screen up, Gordon, if my screen works. Yes. We've been talking about Joseph, and what we've actually been looking in detail is what we call the sovereignty of God, and where God works in our lives behind the scenes and speaks to us behind the scenes. And we call that the sovereignty of God, where God meant it for good. And so week one, I started the series by looking at how it is that sometimes in our lives, we can't see what God is shaping us into. So we start off our lives. My little thing is not working. Gordon, can you put my second? Which? Oh, that way. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Dan. Technical help assistance there. So we start off the first week by saying, you know, we start our lives as a Christian looking a bit as beautiful as that. You know, where we've got no shape, no foundation, no anything in us. And God starts working on us. And he throws us in a fire and he shapes our lives into something beautiful. Oh, it's not working, Dan. I'm pressing the button. Oh, was that? No. Maybe I should just sit down now. Sorry. Yes. Okay. Okay. I'm just going to take a seat. So we were talking about how God shapes our lives into something beautiful, and we can't see it. There's so many times we look back in our lives and we say, oh my word, Lord, what you put me through, you actually meant it for good. And week two, we spoke about the families we get born into. And Joseph was born into quite a difficult family where he was rejected by his brothers. He was betrayed by his brothers. And what we try to say is that, you know, God sometimes, our family lives might not look the greatest. They might not look the most together, and yet God uses that for his glory. And last week, Alan spoke about temptation, and you know how Joseph was thrown into temptation. He got through the temptation on the other side, and he got thrown in prison as a result. And how this was all part of God's plan, and how, you know, we deal with temptation. As a Christian, it doesn't mean you're not going to have temptation. It means we probably will have it more, because we know the difference between right and wrong a little bit more. So tonight we're going to look at Joseph being in prison. That's what we're looking at. So I'm going to read straight away from Genesis 40, verse 5. I won't read the whole story, but that's a bit small. Sorry, guys, follow in your Bibles. So I'm going to read the story of Joseph here. So he was thrown into the prison. He was promoted in the prison as one of the head keepers of the prisoners. And it says, then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we have each had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Verse 12. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, and make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. Now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. I know I skipped some of the story there, but there was a reason for it. Verse 14, Joseph says to this butler, so he gets an interpretation from God. I don't know how God spoke to him, but he did. And he interpreted this dream, and he said to the butler, please show me kindness and say something to Pharaoh. Tell him what I've done. Tell him the interpretation so that you can get me out of this place. And verse 23 says, once this all happened and it came to pass, the chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. And I thought that was quite ironic. Just think, Joseph has been thrown in prison for something he did not do. He was doing the right thing. He ran away from sin, and he seemed to get punished for it. And then when he was in prison, he got this word from God, and you know, the word came to pass, and you would think, oh, great, God's going to do something good for Joseph. And nothing happens. He was in prison for 2 years after that. Imagine how he felt. I thought about this. I thought, you know, imagine if, let's say I stood up for something in my workplace and I lost my job as a result of it and I didn't get a new job for 2 years. How would I feel for doing the right thing? And this season in Joseph's life is what I call the season of silence, or the season of being alone, the season of being forgotten, the season of being abandoned. Imagine how he felt. He must have felt so abandoned by God and so abandoned by everybody. You know, every time he did something good, it just seemed to fall apart in his life. You know, he obviously couldn't, he had no idea what God had in store and what God had planned. But I specifically want to talk about just that tiny season of Joseph's life, because I really believe that as a Christian, we all go through this. We all go through times where you're like, Lord, I don't feel you in my life. I can't hear your voice. I don't feel your presence. Everyone around me seems to be hearing from you. Everyone seems to be going great in their lives, but I just can't hear you. Where are you, Lord? And I've been going through this season for a long time. So tonight, I specifically wanted to look at how God speaks to us, because the big question is, do you believe that he always talks to us? You see, God is a communicator. He said in James 4, verse 8, he said, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. It immediately shows that God wants to be close to us, that he wants to speak to us. And I think many times we don't actually hear him. I know many times I don't listen to God. So I want to speak about how he speaks to us tonight. So, of course, the number one way, which you will hear every single Sunday of your life, is that he speaks to us through the Bible. Of course, everyone hears that every single week. You get told 100 times, read your Bible. And you know, Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But what about more difficult questions in your life? What about things like, Lord, should I take this job? Lord, should I marry Michael? He just shook his head, no. Bad choice. You know, Lord, should I be a friend of this person? The Bible can't really answer those questions for us. Of course, we could use a lot of the morals as our guideline in life, but you see, I want God to be a part of my everyday decisions. Obviously, I'm not going to say to the Lord, should I wear this jumper or that jumper? But if I'm going to apply for a new job, I want God to be in it. I don't want to apply and realize that it was the wrong choice. It wasn't his destiny for me. Or I don't want to marry the wrong person. I haven't, but I hope. But I don't want to marry the wrong person and realize that, you know, I didn't even ask God if this was the right thing. So a couple of weeks ago, just before I went on camp, Michael and I do summer camps every year. I was really going through one of these seasons for about 6 weeks. And I actually spoke to Jane about it. And I said, Jane, I just can't hear from God right now. And every week I'd walk into church on Sunday and she'd say to me, did you hear from God this week? And I'd be like, no, he's not talking to me. And it went on for about 6 weeks where I was doing my quiet times. I was at church. I was involved. But I just could not feel God. I couldn't hear God. I had so much going on. And I was like, Lord, this is crazy. So I went on camp. And while I was on camp, I had a girl in my tent, and she was a really difficult girl to deal with. She'd come from a church background, but she had this huge wall around her. She wouldn't let anyone close. And one night, I was sitting in an evening meeting, and I felt impressed in my heart, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but I felt impressed in my heart to go and speak to this girl about something in her life. And I was like, oh, is this you, Lord? I haven't heard from you in weeks. I don't know if this is you. So I called her and I said, it's going to sound weird, but God has just told me this, this, and this about you. And he says this, this, and this. This girl broke down crying. And she said, you know what? That's exactly what I needed to hear. How did you know? And I was like, I don't know. But you know, the Lord, one of the second ways he speaks to us is in our hearts, in our innermost beings. That's what I call it. Colossians 3 verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God rule in your hearts. You see, if you read through the Bible, you will hear Jesus saying, I perceive the Pharisees are saying this or thinking this. You know, the woman at the well said, I perceive you are a prophet. You know, there were times when Peter said, the Spirit says, don't go here. But how do we know when he's talking to us? How do we hear that? How do we know it's not just us? And the answer is we don't always know. We don't always know. But if you are seeking him wholeheartedly with everything you've got, you will soon learn what is right and what's wrong. And I call it sort of the umpire. When I don't feel good about something in my heart, I just don't do it. You know, Michael and I could be watching a program, and I just feel like, I don't know if this is right. And I'll say to Michael, I can't watch this anymore, even if it's a Disney. I'm like, I just can't watch this because it's something inside me. And I'll give you an example. Mother Teresa, I've just read her biography, and she was praying about whether or not to go and work with the Indians in the slums. And she didn't know how to hear from God. She was just like, I don't know if this is what he wants, if it's just me, am I going crazy? So she wrote to her priest, because she didn't know what to do. And she said, how do I know if God wants me to do this thing in India? And he wrote this back. He said, joy will spring out your heart when you think on it. Joy is a compass. Even if the road you think about is very difficult, joy will tell you if that is your path. And so what she did is she thought about, oh my word, do I want to go and help these poor people in India? And she said the more she thought about it, the more joy that filled her heart. And as she was on the train, because obviously it was a long time ago, so no planes. As she was on the train to India, Jesus spoke to her and she said she felt him say in her heart, feed my poor. And she only heard Jesus once, and for the rest of her life she did that and nothing else. And I just think that's so extraordinary that she would do that. So while I was on this camp, I thought, okay, maybe God's speaking to me a bit more now. And I got offered to run one of the camps. And I was like, Michael, this is so much responsibility. How am I going to know if this is right for us? So I did what Mother Teresa did. I prayed about it. And I prayed. And I spoke about it. And I spoke about it more and more and more because I wanted to know if it was right. And joy filled my heart. And I knew without a doubt this is what God wanted me to do. So, because, you know, these are the way God speaks to me, this is how I see our lives. I'm going to skip to it. I think I should. This is how I see our hearts. Our hearts are like radios, okay? And we have the noise of Facebook. Yeah, Rebecca, I'm looking at you. The noise of Facebook, the noise of our jobs, the noise of our families, the noise of pressures coming in, you know, the noise of, you know, sometimes sickness coming. There's so much noise that we're just picking up. And how many times do we just quieten that noise and look for the signal of God? Look for his station in our lives. How many times do we just step back and listen for him? Because the reason why I felt he started speaking to me on this camp again was because I stepped away from life completely. I stepped away from my stressful job and my, you know, my family and everything that could possibly distract me because I had nowhere else to go. My phone really wouldn't work on camp. So I had no distractions. So I felt that I tuned my radio into God's voice. You know, because John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So I've shared a few of my stories. So I'm going to ask, which one should I pick on first? Colin, because he's giving me a look. Colin's going to share as well where God has spoken to him. And I'm hoping these little testimonies will help you listen.
Thank you. I don't think she really needs me up here. She's doing a fine job. Even if she can't make the clicker work. Yeah, so I got a text from Heather. Tell us how God speaks to you and how you know it's him. I'm like, oh, great. Thanks, Heather. Over the years, I've sensed that God might be speaking to me many times. But for me, it's more of a hint, sort of like a suggestion, a thought that didn't quite seem to come from my own head. So in a way, I'm absolutely never certain, but always assured that this is part of my faith walk. And like much of my life, I'm called to act without any certainty, but knowing that God will honor my rather feeble attempts at faith. So then I share, usually with others, one of God's saints, and in sharing, it's often then that assurance grows, and maybe a sense of the confirming movement of the Spirit touches me. When God speaks to us, he speaks to the body of Christ, to the church, to us all. Many years ago, and some of you will know this, remember it, they might remember better than I do, I'd been prayed for at the front of church here, and I was sitting on the floor, and I had this sense come over me that what we were doing in seeking a part-time youth worker wasn't quite what God had in mind. He was looking for somebody who was a bit younger, maybe a student, possibly a bit like Dan. But that's not what the brief from the church meeting to the group of us who were looking at this was. It was a part-time, grown-up, proper youth worker, not somebody like Dan. So I shared this, and obviously the group were very receptive. They're lovely, but we'd been given a particular brief. So we had to continue a bit along that road and find out where we're supposed to be heading. But in the fullness of time, of course, the Lord worked things up out. And of course, the rest is, well, a very long history, Dan. He had you in mind. I was at a baptism in another church, somebody else's church. As I looked around after this baptism, a thought shot through my head as my eyes caught a young man sitting in the congregation. I didn't know him, knew nothing about him, but it was such a strange thought, just went straight through my head. After the service, I felt I should go and talk to him, so I went and talked to him. He was a bit sort of astonished and approached by this stranger, and I told him what I thought was God's word for him, and I said, now you must go and talk to the senior people in the church and your Christian friends and seek together where this is it really a word from the Lord, and then act on it if it is. As I was cycling home one day up Claughton Hill, I came upon a crashed car. The ambulance was just turning up. There was nothing I could do, so I cycled on up the hill. Well, I tried to, and I just had this real weight that, no, I'm calling you to something, Colin. So after a little bit, I had to stop the bicycle, turn round, and sort of drift very reluctantly back down the hill. But I reached about 20 yards from it, and I had the sudden sense, no, what you're called to do is pray. Just pray. Oh, right, okay, well, that's a bit easier. I'll go for that. So I just prayed, and then there was a sense that, yeah, I was okay. Go on. Go your way. So I headed off. That was it. That was the job. Sitting in a meeting a long time ago, a lady confessed with tears that she'd endured an abortion and had never felt she could forgive herself or could be forgiven. Into my mind popped John 20, verse 22. Anybody that knows me will know it. Verses in the Bible don't pop easily into my mind, so it obviously had nothing to do with me. It's where Jesus breathed on his friends and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. So I prayed for her there and then, to her amongst the crowd of people that were in that room. And in God's name, I pronounced forgiveness over her. It was an astonishing thing to do. The effect was absolutely palpable and wonderful. God is at work in us all.
Thank you, Colin. I'm going to call someone else up, but I just thought I'd say something before I do. But regardless of your age, God will speak to you. So the youth here, the youths who don't think that God speaks to them, I can tell you that he does. Because when I was, maybe Emma's age, possibly Rebecca's, I don't know. But I was running And I ran past a lady who was watering her garden. And as I ran past her, I felt an urge to go and speak to her about Jesus. And I was like, Lord, are you crazy? I'm like, I'm a 15-year-old. I am not going to go talk to this old lady. So I went home, and I lay on the couch after my run. And the Lord said, go and speak to her. And I was like, oh, Lord, leave me alone. But I went, and I was like, hi, I'm Heather. And the Lord said, I must just come and tell you that he loves you. And she said, she started crying, and she said, you know what? At that moment, I was praying and asking God if he'd just love me because my son died yesterday. And I was like, okay. So just, you know, just to say that God can use you. It's just whether or not you're willing to take that step of boldness. Someone asked Fiona to come and share how she hears from God. It's quite interesting to just know how, because every person is different, so.
Thank you. Is that on? Funny you should say that, because I kind of feel that I don't have much different to say. It's pretty much what Heather said and what Colin said. But again, Heather sent me a message yesterday and said, will you share some of how God speaks to you and how you know it's God with the girl? I thought, oh, I could do that. God speaks to me. That's fine. I can do that. And then I sort of thought about it for a bit. I thought, I can't really think of anything. God does speak to me, but it's just for little things for me or for somebody in the ministry team, which obviously wouldn't be appropriate to share. I thought, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I came to church this morning, and I saw the messenger, and I saw the topic of tonight's service. And I thought, oh, dear. I hope she doesn't want to speak about visions and dreams. So I certainly don't have any of those. And then, so this is also an example of God speaking to me, I guess, because then Tony gave the sermon this morning, and he gave a little bit of an outline about his Christian life and sort of important things in his Christian life. And I felt God was saying to me, you know, just share some of the major milestones, I guess, in your Christian life about where I've spoken to you. So that's sort of what I'm going to do. And I would say that God very much speaks to me in a still small voice. I've never heard an audible voice of God, although I know he speaks to some people in that way. I've never had visions and dreams. And it is very much the sort of inner being, the spiritual intuition, I call it, and also very much through his word, and usually just when that is so appropriate, and often through feelings and circumstances and other people and the things which I guess non-Christians might call coincidence. And one thing, just before I share a few examples, one thing I think is clear is that whenever I make the time to listen to God, he speaks to me. So whenever I read the Bible, whenever I pray, God does speak to me, which makes it sound very spiritual, but the flip side of that is I'm not always that good at reading my Bible or finding time to pray. But whenever I do, I find that God speaks to me. So just coming back to what Heather said, when I became a Christian at the age of 13, which I guess is maybe around the same age that some people are here, and for the first sort of 6 months or so when I became a Christian, I was like, I've prayed the prayer. I don't know if that's happened. So every time somebody said, do you want to invite Jesus into your life? I did it again because I'm so super spiritual. And this just kept happening. I thought, how on earth did I ever know that that's real? And then one day, some people might relate to this if they're of a certain age. There used to be a book, I don't know if it still exists, called the Knowing God Personally book, which kind of went through the four spiritual rules. And right at the end of that, there was a tiny wee sentence that just said, how do you know that God has come into your life? And I thought, well, that's weird. That's kind of what I've been asking. And it just said, because you've asked God and he can be trusted. I was like, okay, that's fair enough. It's fairly straightforward, I get that. So that was kind of like the first thing that kind of underlined the start of my Christian faith. And then a few years later, I was probably about 17 or 18, and I was having a really, really tough time. And I can't really remember the ins and outs of it, but I know that spiritually, I was just really, I'd had a really exciting time as a teenager and was on fire for Christ. And then at that time, for whatever reason, I was really struggling. And I'm not sure if I read it or somebody gave it me, but gave me those words in Joshua chapter 1, where God says to Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And it wasn't necessarily a case of God giving me those words as reassurance. It was more God was challenging me to say those words to him. And so at that point in my life, I said to God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And again, that's, I guess, kind of just underlined my Christian faith. I've got lots of examples. And there was one that I wasn't really going to mention, but just when Heather was talking earlier, I just felt that I probably should. It's a little bit difficult. So Heather talked about Joseph feeling abandoned and a really dark time. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I don't know why, every time I try and say this, I cry. But anyway, I come from Dunblane, and before Dunblane was famous for Andy Murray, it was famous for something else much worse. And when that happened, so for those of you who don't know, Dunblane is a town in Scotland who, 21 years ago, a man went in and killed 15 children and their school teacher. And when that happened, as you can expect, you have real questions of faith. And you're just like, how can that happen? And I'm the most unartistic person you will ever meet. And the only time in my life I've ever written a poem. And it was very much about why, and why can this happen? And at that point, I felt God really strongly in my life just say, because this world is not as good as it gets, you know, and led me to Revelation chapter 21, like, there will be no more tears, and there is better than this. And I've been able to share that with non-Christians who say, how can God allow suffering? And I think when that comes from somebody who's been in that situation, hopefully it means something. Anyway, and that's it. I've got lots more examples, but I'll shut up now. But those are a few examples how God speaks to me. How do I know it's God? I just do.
Thank you so much. I've got one more victim. Shame for them. And it's our lovely Jane, joyful Jane, who's going to come and share how God has spoken to her. Or does speak to her, not spoken. I know he does still. Sorry.
Thank you. I definitely know when God's not speaking to me. That's what I can definitely say. The other times I'm not always sure it's God, indigestion, or me and my own conscience. Although I did hear something today that says, well, actually your conscience is connected with God. So don't dismiss the crazy stuff. And actually sometimes when God speaks, it is the wildest, craziest stuff that you would just never think. But I would just say that God never accuses you. And we need to be careful of listening to the accusing voice. So it's good to discern between that other fella that sometimes jumps on board and God. God always speaks into our heart. And so I've learned 4 tests when I'm wondering if God's spoken, and no disrespect, Kath, but I ask the frog, okay? So think frog, that word, and the letters of that word, and not speaking it in order, but the G, whatever I hear should give glory to Jesus, both in the now and the future. The O, you know, there should be other confirming witnesses, as people, you know, Colin said, he goes and checks with other people in there. The R, does it reveal the character of God as we know in Scripture? And the F, is there observable fruits? And the F's the difficult one, because if you hear from God, you don't instantly get the fruit. You got the fruit when you spoke to that girl. And I have to say, usually when you share with someone else and you feel you've got something, like obviously we do with the ministry team, we feel that nudge or that scripture or that word, and you learn over time to step out in boldness and just say, I've got this running through my mind. Does it resonate with you? And the fruit usually in ministry is tears. It's the biggest fruit you'll see in someone else, that they will get emotional about the words that you're speaking to them, because it speaks into their very innermost being. The way in which God speaks to me, it's very rarely consistent. I've never heard the audible voice of God. He wakes me up in the middle of the night, and I think that's because that's the only time I'm not busy. It's the only time you can get my attention. And I've had things like, when I hadn't been here that long, I used to lead evening service sometimes, and God would be waking me up in the middle of the night with just references to Bible that I hadn't even got around to reading yet because I was such a new Christian. And they would, and the fruit of that would be, I'd share that with the preacher, and it's, yeah, that's what I'm bringing this week, because we didn't very often used to do sermon series. People would just, you know, Brian used to bring what was on his heart for that week. So you get that confirming witness. But some of the big things in life have been just through me learning to be obedient to when God's given me something. And one of the ones that's really impacted my life and my family was my nan had a stroke. And it was severe, and we didn't expect her to survive. So me and my mum went over because she lived in Mansfield in Nottinghamshire. And my mum was with her, and my cousins were there, so it was a bit busy. So I asked if I could go to the chapel. And so I went and sat in the chapel, and I was praying. I didn't really know what to pray for. She was elderly. You know, we should expect to have lost her. She was in her 80s. But I got a picture, and I got a picture of my grandpa, who had died when I was 17, stood on this rock. And it's part of a picture that I'd seen in the family, because there's somewhere in Wales that's got these massive stones going across this river where you can walk across and stand on, and there's a picture of my nan and my grandpa together on this particular rock. But when I prayed, I got the picture of just my grandpa, and a sense in my spirit, she's not going to die, which gave me peace that we'd have her for a bit longer, and then it allowed me to therefore pray that she'd be healed, pray for family healing, because there was a lot of rifts in our family at the time. And she lived for another 18 months. And we had nothing had changed about her. We hadn't been told any changes, but she did live in a home from there on because she couldn't walk. And I woke up one morning, and in that kind of stirring time, I got another picture. And this time it was my grandpa on the rock and an outline of what I knew to be my nan, kind of not quite there, but kind of almost appearing into the picture. And I just got this sense, this is her last day. And so I got up, I rang work. I couldn't really explain that to work. I just said, my nan's going to die today, and I really want to go over and be with her. Is that okay? And they said, fine, just go. And I spoke to my mum, and I said, I think she's going to die today. And my mum was, not heard anything. The home's not rang and said, there's anything wrong with her. And I said, no, I need to go over. Are you going to come? And she said, no, because she was there the week before. And my mum, bless her, didn't want that bit. She wanted to remember her as she'd seen her the week before. So I set off. It's 2.5 hours drive over there. Should have only been two. Got stuck in traffic in Derby, and I'm just really, I've got to get there. I pulled up outside the home, and as I switched off my car engine, my phone went off. My auntie, who lived just down the road, said, the home's just rung. Your nan's taking a turn for the worse, and we need to get there. And I said, I'm here outside. And she was blown away. What do you mean you're outside? I got a sense this morning that I needed to be in there. And I felt I needed to go in, and my nan was still semi-conscious, but her breathing had changed. And I was able to pray with her, because she'd started going to church in a later life, and we'd had conversations, but you know, that just, I felt it was right to pray the sinner's prayer with my nan, prayer into heaven, whatever you want to call it. But also to say that my grandpa was there. And actually tonight, as we were, as I was listening to Heather, I hadn't realized the significance of it, but my grandpa was stood on a rock in that picture. And my nan was then stood on the rock. And it wasn't necessarily the rock of the picture that I remember in our photo album. It was the rock of Jesus Christ. And that obviously brings me great comfort. And so it's usually, for me, I've heard God in pictures, I've heard in nudges, that the do things, go speak to people. But that's one of the times where I'm so grateful. And I look back and go, was I closer to God then? No, I was just open to him. I like Fiona, if I'm really reading my Bible and seeking him and having quiet times regularly, I hear him more. If I'm not, I don't hear from him at all. There are times where you expect to hear from him and I don't. We had that wonderful prayer event and I really enjoyed the atmosphere of it. I didn't hear a thing from God that day. And then realized I was hearing from him, but I was being called to pray, to intercede that day and not necessarily receive anything from God. But yeah, I'm not super spiritual in any way, shape or form. I'm just glad that God's in my life, and I've kind of given you the best example I can. But I just want to recommend a book to people who feel, well, I don't connect with him in any way, regularly or whatever. And this is by John Ortberg, and it's called God is Closer Than You Think. And it talks about how all of us connect with God differently and different times of our lives. If you could draw a pie chart of how you connect with God, some people, it's nearly always in worship, through worship music. Some people, it's nearly always with the scripture. For some, it's walking in nature. For some, it's through other people's testimonies or words. You know, like when we give a word up here that somebody's got scripture, a piece of scripture, you'll get that tight knot or fluttering or whatever it is in your heart, or an impression that, even a sick feeling sometimes, it's like, oh, you know, God really does want to deal with that in me. So you're getting that through other people. That word that that the ministry team get isn't for them, although sometimes it can be. It's actually for you guys. So it's just, you know, realizing that. But I'd say this is really good, because we shouldn't think that we all receive in the same way. So, oh, well, if I spend lots and lots of time reading the Bible, I'm going to hear from God more and less time listening to worship music, because that's how, I don't know, don't mean to pick on you, Gordon, but that's how Gordon hears. But it's just find your way. And if anyone wants to borrow this book, by all means, do. It's just good to sit and reflect on where you connect with God, because we all connect with him in different ways. And I definitely kind of wish I'd met him earlier than I had.
Thank you. Could we just give Jane and Fiona and Colin a hand? Because it takes a lot of courage to get up here. Okay, so I'm going to just sum this up. So we finished over there. Lord, where are you? You know, we go through these stages. God, I can't hear you. God, I'm struggling to hear you. And that's why I wanted to hear stories from other people, because we all hear God differently. I've never got a picture from God. I'm just not that sort of person. I'd be like, Lord, what are you doing? What is that thing? You know, I can get it from the scriptures or hearing. So find your way of listening to God, but be willing to open up your heart to listen. You know, that's the big thing. He'll talk if you listen. And sometimes you have to get rid of the noise in your life, as I did with the picture of the radio, where until I was quieter, I couldn't hear him. So I just want to encourage you in the coming weeks, especially with the series going on, to just find a way to listen to God. You've all got your own way. I can't tell you, you know, I mean, obviously it really helps when Jane gives us, you know, some things to test if it's from God. But there is a way that, you know, he will connect with you, because he's personal. He doesn't have one way fits all. He's such a personal God. So I'm going to invite the band up now so we can spend some time in worship. And if you're not sure how God speaks to you, go to the ministry team and ask them to pray with you. And they, you know, you never know. God may just say to you, you know, this is the way I'm going to speak to you. If you're not sure, get someone to pray with you, or just ask him. Just say, Lord, I just really want to hear your voice. I want to know you, Lord. How do you speak to me? And I'll tell you now, he'll surprise you. So I'm going to hand over to Dan, and he can take us away in worship.